I suspected that God was working through Jesus because of the signs he was reputed to have performed. I met with Jesus at night because I was afraid of what people may think. What would my friends and family think? Me, a respected ruler of the Jews, meeting with him? Jesus of Nazareth? I was scared of their opinion, so I came under the cover of darkness.
Nicodemus was a recognized teacher of Israel. He was wise enough to know that Jesus had many things to teach him. However, learning from Jesus was proving to be very costly.
People in power often work in the darkness when unpleasant things have to be done. Decisions that need to be made, but nobody wants to see. Some leaders go to shameful places, so they need the dark to see dealers, prostitutes, fortune tellers even. You can come and go in the darkness. No one questions your shameful deeds as long as they stay in the darkness. They must stay in the darkness. My colleagues were unsure about Jesus, and their uncertainty led them to fear and hate. And how would they react to the headline? A ruler of the Jews meets with upstart itinerant preacher. It had to be at night, had to be. Under the cover of darkness, no one would see me meet with him. I made my way through the dark streets when the very first scripture I ever learned sprang to my mind. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. Before light, darkness existed. In fact, from the very beginning of time, darkness has been the absence of light. Then God creates light, and he specifically points out that light is good. Why? It brings life. It brings things to where they can be seen and understood. By its very nature, light destroys darkness. Throughout the Bible, light is associated with good and right actions, and darkness is associated with evil and wrong actions. The Apostle John opens his gospel with these words about Jesus. In him was life, and that life was the light of man. The light shines in the darkness and is not overcome by the darkness. That hadn't been written yet, unfortunately for me. And here I am going under the cover of darkness to meet with the very source of life and light. It's crazy. If I had known that, I would have understood Jesus' demeanor when I met with him. I thought I was the wise teacher, but my actions proved otherwise. I was lost and ignorant and didn't even know it. I approached Jesus in the growing darkness. Is he smiling? I think to myself. He's probably amused that I have something to hide, but he doesn't. I am a leader of Israel, but he is already in control of the situation. He has a PhD in religious studies, and I'm like a kid on the first day of synagogue school. The words come tumbling out of my mouth, nervous, I guess. "Teacher, we know you are from God, for nobody does the miracles you do unless God is with him." I can't even say these are my beliefs. I have to say we. Jesus completely ignores my outburst. "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." My head explodes. "Truly, truly" means that the next words are not only true, but they are extremely important. But I don't have a clue what he means. And I'm supposed to be a teacher of our nation. Born again? What does that mean? Can I see the kingdom of God? What does he mean by that? I know it sounds stupid, but Taking his words literally, I ask him, "How can you be born again? How can you climb back inside your mother's womb?" The most lighthearted laugh I've ever heard rings out into the night. It's not in amusement or sarcasm, but laughing out of joy. He's about to reveal something to me I've been waiting my whole life to hear, and he knows it. Truly, truly, unless a man is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now, maybe I get a glimpse. I know Jesus is associated with John the Baptist, and I know John baptizes those who repent with water. I guess Jesus means that through baptism with water and a repentant heart, I can enter the kingdom of God. But what in the world does he mean by being born of the Spirit? I'm processing like as fast as I can, and Jesus barely pauses. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. Don't marvel that I say you must be born again. Yeah, right. Might be easy for you to say, Jesus, but I'm completely lost over here. Now, I don't say that out loud. Instead, here come more of his words. The wind blows where it will. You can hear it, but can't tell from where it comes or goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Oh, well, yeah, that really clears it up. Oh, man, the more Jesus talks, the less I understand. How? What do you mean by? I mumble. And again, that happy laugh comes out of the dark. You are a teacher of Israel, and you do not know these easy things? We speak of what we know and have seen, but you don't accept them. If I've told you these earthly things and you can't believe them, how will you accept heavenly things? Look, am I describing my dilemma clear enough for you? I'm standing in the dark, completely dumbfounded by the words of a rookie holy Joe. I'm supposed to be one of the best teachers in Israel, and I have no idea what this country bumpkin preacher is talking about. Walk away from the lunatic. That's what I'm tempted to do, but I would be pretending. I came to him knowing that his miracles prove he is a man of God. I may not understand his words, but I do understand that he is far closer to God than I am. And thank God I stay. The next words of Jesus are some of the most important words ever to be heard by any person. You've heard them so many times that you probably don't even pay attention to them, but I am the first person in the world to hear them. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent his Son into the world not to condemn the world, but so that the world will be saved through him. The person who believes in the Son is not condemned, but the person that doesn't believe is condemned already because they haven't believed in the name of the only Son of God. God loves me and wants me to be saved from death, a separation from him. Jesus is the Son of God, and if I believe in him, I will have eternal life with him. If I do not, I stand self-condemned. My knees give way and I collapse. I need to make a decision, but I can't yet. And out of the darkness that I craved only a few minutes earlier, comes these ironic words. The light has come into the world, but men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that does evil hates the light and doesn't come into the light, so his deeds are not exposed. But whoever does what is true comes into the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works are God's. I don't move. And I hear him slowly walk away. 2 years later, Judas comes in secret to hand over Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. The Sanhedrin send Judas into the darkness to arrest Jesus. The Sanhedrin has the trial of Jesus at night, even though that is against all of our rules. And I can tell you that those kinds of trials only happen with agendas built on evil. In the miraculous darkness, from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, Jesus is crucified. It's as if the very sun itself is mourning for the Son of God. And in the darkness, I remember the words of Isaiah. Woe to those that call evil good and good evil, and say darkness is light and light is darkness. I make a decision. I am done with the dark, with secrets. I will walk into the light. In broad daylight, Joseph of Arimathea and I carefully removed the body of Jesus from the cross. Oh, man, so much blood. He didn't even look human. Mutilated beyond the form of human likeness. Joseph takes the nails out of his legs first. I pull the thorny crown from his head, caked with blood. I half expect him to wake. He doesn't. I hammer the nails all the way through the wrist. It's the only way to free him. Joseph owns a nearby gravesite, so we take the body there. We use 75 pounds of myrrh and aloe to prepare the body. Wrap it according to our custom. We heave the stone into place to seal the tomb. All of this is done in daylight. I walk home completely red. Everything covered with blood, Jesus's blood. Everybody knows where I've been. Everybody knows what I've been doing. My colleagues, my friends, my neighbors, my wife and kids look at me like I am a madman. And in the dying daylight, I am exposed to everyone. Starkly different from the secret meeting with Jesus. Fearful of others. I believe in the truth. And the truth lives in the light. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will never die, but have everlasting life.